of the morning, so we will. We're going to try to stick to the format, even without a moderator, as much as possible. First of all, as Lopiansky just described so beautifully, we're going to try to illustrate how life can be sometimes complicated, and there is a way in which people can hold diverse opinions and disagree about matters while still maintaining a great deal of respect, both for the individual and the person. We live in a world in which these conversations tend to be toxic, and we try to obliterate or make an opponent out of a person who disagrees with us, whether that's politics or taste in music or interest in sports or Torah concepts as well. And we're going to try to demonstrate how that's not the right way, and also just showing respect for opinions, for the diversity of opinions and for the value of approaches and perspectives that we may not share at a moment. That's why the debate format is not a gimmick. It is a very, very critical part of what we're speaking about today. I haven't mentioned sports yet, other than just in one of those analogies a sentence ago. We'll also try to share a perspective or two with regard to the question of, can a Ben Torah watch the Super Bowl? So the format that we're going to use is going to be 2 minutes of opening statements from Rabbi Kamenetsky and myself. He'll go first. This does not count as my opening statement. I'm the moderator right now. And then we will have the main part of the presentation. That'll be followed by rebuttals, each from Rabbi Kamenetsky and myself, and also with any follow-up questions that anybody in the audience may have. And that will then we'll end with concluding statements. So Rabbi Kamenetsky, if somebody wants to have the audacity, I will not do it, to time Rabbi Kamenetsky and to signal to him when his 2 minutes are open up. Rabbi Kamenetsky can start with 2 minutes of opening statement.
Our topic for this morning, I was asked to speak about an to speak about the question of, can a Ben Torah watch the Super Bowl? I would like to reformulate the question a little bit, because the answer to that question, can a Ben Torah, so the answer is yes, and I was asked to argue no, as there's nothing inherently wrong with watching a few minutes of the Super Bowl itself. There's nothing wrong with that. What I'd like to speak on the no side is, should a Ben Torah watch the Super Bowl? Not can he, but should he? Is it something to aspire to want to not have to watch the Super Bowl? And why would one take the approach that one perhaps should not watch the Super Bowl? So, breaking it down into the next minute and 30 seconds just as an opener, I see four potential problems with watching the Super Bowl. Number one, the halftime show / commercials. Many of the commercials, I think it's important to point out, that if a Ben Torah is watching TV and a woman who is inappropriately dressed comes onto the screen, a Ben Torah is not permitted to look at that image. And I think it's highly unlikely that a person who is watching the Super Bowl is going to be swift enough or realize enough to turn his head away. This doesn't just go for the Super Bowl. It goes for any time you're watching television or anything that you're watching, or a movie or whatever it might be, and an inappropriate image comes on the screen, you are obligated to turn in the other direction. And very few people that I know who actually watch TV actually turn their head in the other direction. Number two is the time waste factor. How much time are we putting into these activities? Yes, everybody needs some downtime, and maybe this is a reasonable way to spend some downtime, but how much downtime do you need? I doubt that our role models, our religious role models, will take 7 hours on a Sunday afternoon and watch multiple football games, or 4.5 hours of the Super Bowl on a Sunday afternoon, all that time. Do we really need all of that time as our downtime? Number three, organized sports today, in many of the disciplines, if we be honest with ourselves, promote values that are very much against what Judaism believes in. Arrogance, self-centeredness, just look at the way people react after, I don't want to mention names, about when certain people hit the three, or they, how do they react, and what, how does the whole crowd react? It promotes gaiva, it promotes self-centeredness. I'm all for playing ball and getting involved, and I play ball myself, and I did for many years, maybe now more into biking, but whatever, I play ball, I hold with playing ball, I think playing ball is great. But watching it and having role models, these people who are getting paid gazillions of dollars to to do what they're doing, and often gets to their head, that's problem number three. And number four, and there are more, but I wanted to boil it down to four. Number four is that I think that the whole hype and the media frenzy that surrounds the Super Bowl, and many people get sucked in, and they get sucked into needing to watch it, even if not even really interested in the game. You have thousands and thousands of people who just get into it because of the media hype and the frenzy, and everyone goes, what am I missing out? We forget how to judge things and value things with our own value system. We get sucked into the media and the frenzy on the Super Bowl. Those are my opening 4 points of why I think that while I think a Ben Torah can watch the Super Bowl, but I think that a Ben Torah should strive at some point in his life that he should not watch the Super Bowl.
That'll be 2 minutes.
That's my 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay. I'll address some of Rabbi Kamenetsky's points in the slightly longer presentations. I'll just use the 2 minutes of introduction to, after setting it up and playing the role of the moderator before, as one of the participants in the debate, just want to point out in my 2 minutes the absurdity of this construct and the absurdity of the debate. The absurdity of this debate is based on, I think, two factors. Number one, Rabbi Kamenetsky is such an extraordinary role model for this discussion in particular, and it is not appropriate for me, who considers himself not just to be a friend and a brother-in-law to Rabbi Kamenetsky, but first and foremost a Talmud of Rabbi Kamenetsky's, as so many in this room from DRS and from the Five Towns, from NCSY Kollel, and staff members here also proudly profess themselves to be. I don't want anyone to confuse this as being a difference of opinion, when that difference of opinion, there is a very, very important halacha of a Talmud who paskens in front of his Rebbe, and I would dare say that that extends to even matters of this, which are not necessarily paskening halacha, as Rabbi Kamenetsky himself described. And it's important to know that all the time. There are opinions, not everybody is entitled, and even though in the Western world we are told that everybody's entitled to their opinion, Rabbi Lopiansky addressed this as well a little bit, that there has to be a balance between MS and Shalom, and Rabbi Kamenetsky is the person who speaks the MS. It does not matter how good a debater you are, how strongly you present an idea. When you have an opportunity to hear a perspective from Rabbi Kamenetsky, you can put up as many people as you want in a room. It doesn't make them have equal weight in the opinions that they have. Number two, the debate is definitely slanted in the favor of Rabbi Kamenetsky's position. We have a problem. We have an enormous problem in the way in which we deal with sports and in the way in which we deal with the Super Bowl in particular. The Super Bowl is our perspective on sports magnified on so many different levels, and all of the warts and all of the real, real issues that we have as a society. And when I say society, I don't mean as an American society. I mean as a from society. I mean as people who are Shomrei Torah mitzvot and who wear yarmulkes on our head and who are projecting and representing a particular way of life. Super Bowl Sunday is not the best day of the year for many, many of those things, at least not in the way it is currently constituted. And if anybody interprets, and I appreciate Rabbi Kamenetsky's reformulation very much, if anybody interprets this debate as a debate of, is there anything wrong with what we do on Super Bowl Sunday, I will walk out of the room. Meaning it's not worth even having the discussion if people think that there are two perspectives on that. It is important in a debate and a discussion to recognize the tenets and the ideas upon which we fundamentally agree. And Rabbi Kamenetsky and I don't even prepare this with him, didn't practice it with him. I've just listened to him in my entire life and learned from him and from our mutual Rabbeim and the ways we need to do. We have a problem with Super Bowl Sunday. And no one's going to get out of jail free card for that problem. No one's going to be told or presented with an argument that the way in which we watch the Super Bowl is exactly the right way in which we are supposed to do that. So that would be my opening comment. I guess, again, in lieu of a moderator, we'll just go snake draft style here. And I'll continue with my kind of main idea, and then we'll each have an opportunity, together with everybody who's sitting here, a chance to respond to some of these points. Actually, Rabbi Kamenetsky, 28 years ago, almost exactly to the day, Rabbi Kamenetsky hosted the last night of Sheva Brachos for my wife and myself in Passaic, New Jersey. That was the week of Parsha Shoftim, which will be almost on our anniversary a week from now, once again, the week of Parsha Shoftim. So as an aside, I don't want to take from the few minutes that I have right now, but it is important to recognize some of the wisdom that I have learned from Rabbi Kamenetsky. There were a lot of speeches over the week of Shavuot. There was a lot of rabbis in our family and a lot of people who like to talk, as you'll hear in a couple of minutes. And on that night in particular, the last night of Shavuot Brachos, Rabbi Kamenetsky had arranged a beautiful, and my sister, they'd arranged a beautiful night in Passaic, and there were a lot of speeches, and I had the custom of speaking at every night of Shavuot Brachos. Some habits never change. I had the custom of speaking every night of Shavuot Brachos, but it was the end of a very long night. It was well after 10 o'clock, and I didn't really want to speak at that time. I thought it was too many speeches. Rabbi Kamenetsky told me that when you have a moment of Kedusha, and you have a moment of significance, and you have something to say in that moment, everybody who is in that room is there to share in that experience and to share in that chinuch, and I should speak dafka and speak for as long as I want. That's not a night to be looking at your watch or to regret the things unsaid when you actually have a moment of feeling and caring about saying them. I have a karas hatov to this day for the advice that he gave me on that night. What are the words that I said on that night? The beginning of Parsha Shoftim begins with the words of tzedek, tzedek tirdof, that a person should pursue righteousness. Of course, that is a mistranslation. Everyone in this room should know that whenever I begin learning with any group of people, this is the Torah that I share with them on the first moment as the ground rules for the engagement of learning and the engagement of a classroom. Some Talmidim of mine are in the audience right now. They can attest to the fact that this is the first idea that we like to share just to establish how a dialogue in learning is meant to look like. The words tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, of course, do not mean you should pursue justice, because that would be tzedek, tirdof. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof has a repeat of the phrase tzedek. And of course, we know from Rashi and a number of the other Mefarshim that when there is a repetition, it is meant to emphasize. You should really pursue justice. However, other Mefarshim point out that that too is a mistranslation. If we were meant to emphasize the pursuit of justice, we would have said tzedek, tirdof, tirdof. You should really pursue justice. You should really go for that loose ball. You should really learn very well. You should really have good midos. Why do we say tzedek, tzedek, tirdof? We don't say you should have good midos. You should work for a loose ball. We say you should really, we try to emphasize, why is it tzedek, I'm sorry, you shouldn't work for a loose ball. That's not the way we say it. We say you should work for a loose ball. Why tzedek, tzedek, tirdof? And the most beautiful explanation that relates to marriage, and it certainly relates to this debate, is that tzedek, tzedek means that in any single issue, if you want to really pursue it and understand it, recognize that there are two perspectives that matter. Recognize that there is a husband and a wife. Recognize that there is a pro and a con. Recognize that there is no such thing as one-sided justice. There is no such thing as a one-sided opinion. If you have a strong opinion about a line in a Tosfos in Maseches Megillah, if you have a strong opinion about the Super Bowl, the work begins in understanding what other opinions are out there and what other opinions we are not considering at this moment. In the real world of debate club, which for my money is one of the best extracurriculars, along with the basketball team and the hockey team, one of the best extracurriculars that a person can be a part of in high school, one of the first rules of debate club are that if you have 5 minutes to prepare for your debate, you were procrastinating or watching the Super Bowl the night before and you were wasting your time, and you have 5 minutes now to prepare for your Monday afternoon debate, instead of researching your own position and being part of that echo chamber, research the opinion of your opponent. Know what the other position is about. I cannot tell you, because of my reputation as a sports fan, how many Madrichim made the same joke of how, of course, Rabbi Benovitz, you are going to argue against the Super Bowl. Well, in fact, it's not a joke. I am going to argue against the Super Bowl, not for effect, because you cannot argue for the Super Bowl unless you understand all of the reasons against the Super Bowl. Luckily, Rabbi Kamenetsky already articulated in his introduction some of the main ideas that are dangerous when it comes to our relationship with the Super Bowl. Number one, there is a legitimate movement that will ultimately make its way to Capitol Hill to turn the Super Bowl into a national holiday. National holidays matter a lot. You need to know nothing else. By the way, on an economic level, it makes sense. People go late to work on Monday. People have enormous parties and get-togethers. People travel to the games and other destinations like Las Vegas. From an economic workforce perspective, there is a certain logic to it. But in America that is defined, its national holiday is not July 4th, or not recognition for George Washington, or not appreciation for Martin Luther King or Christopher Columbus, and a society that makes as its centerpiece the Vince Lombardi Trophy, and overvalue sports, that sports is necessary and sports is critical and sports is the pinnacle of anything that we wish to strive for as a community, as a society, that is, of course, highly, highly problematic. And yes, it doesn't mean you can't eat chicken wings or attend a Super Bowl party. We'll get to that in a minute. But it does mean that we have to do a little bit of a sense of it's not Yom Kippur. It's not a national holiday. It's not the day in which we are our best versions of ourselves, which is something we've spoken about so many times over the course of the summer. Number two, there are objective Isurim that are involved with watching the Super Bowl. Those Isurim involve Bittul Zman, and those Isurim involve what Rabbi Kamenetsky mentioned with regard to the various trappings and externals that go along with watching the Super Bowl. You can combine those two and speak not just about the commercials, but about the quality of a mincha or a mariv on Super Bowl Sunday. When something becomes the priority, we go along with all the things that are associated with it, and that becomes problematic. The tish that we had last night was extraordinary. The trappings and the externals of the tish, the conversations that took place on the bench outside, and the setup of the madrichim with music and with energy to make something special out of Rav Shechter and Rav Shaul Alter and the nigunim and the coming together, that's what was most extraordinary about last night. You could have taken away last night itself and just had the madrichim setting up this room and just had the conversations and Rav Zimmerman Shira Maseches Megillah taking place on the picnic benches, and it would have been the greatest night of anybody's life. It would have been the highlight of the summer for people. Just that conversation, dripping with sweat, what you have with your madrich. It matters what's in the middle of that equation. And that equation matters so much because, as the guys who were in the Sports and Torah Nightshare spoke about, there has to be a way that a Ben Torah watches the Super Bowl that is fundamentally different than the way that a person who is not a Ben Torah watches the Super Bowl. There has to be a way in which my viewing of the Super Bowl reflects something different. Why is there any justification for watching the Super Bowl? If everything that I just said is true, then maybe we should not watch the Super Bowl, and we, NCSY Kollel, it's Rabbeim, it's Rashi Yeshiva, it's Madrichim, and its participants should launch a campaign, and our Kabbalah should be 400 guys, 450 counting the Rabbeim and the staff, we're not going to watch the Super Bowl this year. We're not going to watch the Super Bowl ever. We're going to Kabbalah upon ourselves. We're launching not just the Midos campaign, we're watching a no Super Bowl campaign. I will tell you why I think that that is a bad idea. I will tell you why, with a number of important exceptions, I have watched many a Super Bowl in my life, including some of the recent ones. I have participated in Super Bowl parties, and I have been excited about watching a good football game and enjoying it as such. I think the point that Rabbi Kamenetsky made about the misphrasing, can we watch the Super Bowl? So there is a dad joke that you could make about that itself has a certain degree of depth to it, which is that, I mean, obviously you can, we all do, a Ben Torah can watch the Super Bowl. That has been established and proven that such a thing is physically possible. It's also probably halakhically, again, possible. And I think as a community, we should be very, very careful about saying no when we should be saying how. When we take something that is not intrinsically awful and we make it off limits, it is a cop-out in my mind. It is a weak response in my mind. And we take something that could be used for value, and instead of giving us the tools to utilize it in a valuable way, we simply osser it and we simply make it out of bounds and impossible. This is dangerous for a number of reasons. It is dangerous because it is poor chinuch, and it is dangerous because no one is going to listen to it. The best example of this would not be the Super Bowl. It would be our smartphones. It would be the use of internet and technology, in which most educators would agree that the message that, because of the dangers that exist inside of using technology and using our phones, I hope somebody is timing me, by the way. I want to keep to. Should be, I'm going to start from the beginning timing. Well, it doesn't matter anymore. Let's say that I have 5 more minutes. Someone starts timing me right now with it. Because of the dangers that exist in a phone, we should osser phones completely. We should say, I'm not going to do it at all. I'm not going to use it at all. That is probably a mistake on a practical level, and it's probably a mistake on an educational level. There is an opportunity to learn from and to enjoy aspects of the Super Bowl. There is a tremendous value in doing things that are sustainable and that are consistent with the lives that we are trying to live. Chazal tell us, Ein gozrin al atzibor, ela masha atzibor yecholim la'amod bo. We do not make gezeros or outlaw things that regular people are going to have a hard time abiding by. We want to give people the tools in which they could live life in normal ways. There is nothing wrong with good, wholesome fun and enjoying it. And the world is filled with outlets that are far less wholesome and enjoyable. There is nothing wrong with supplementing a learning and using downtime to get physical exercise and even to watch the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Jets play in a football game. To cheer and to exult, to watch people who have worked and achieved, even if you didn't learn a single lesson, and there are plenty of bad things to learn from sports as well, but if you didn't learn a single lesson from the work ethic of a Ray Allen or the dexterity of an OBJ or any of the other lessons that could be learned or the wisdom of some of the great coaches that have played or coached the game, even if you didn't learn anything, and all you were doing was having a good time. Having a good time is not out of the realm of a Ben Torah's arsenal. And having a good time in a healthy, productive way is something we could be proud of and something which we can embrace. Being normal is something that we can be proud of and something that we can be embraced. There is no contradiction between being a Ben Torah, committed to Torah values, and enjoying a hobby or a pastime or entertainment that is fundamentally clean and appropriate and that we can be able to enjoy from. And it is dangerous as a society when we start saying no to things that we can be saying yes to. It is overly negative, and it describes a world that has such enormous potential in terms in which we've given up on that potential and that we have to be scared of our shadow in everything that we do. I want to conclude these parts of the remarks by highlighting a couple of things, the majority of which will be consistent with Rabbi Kamenetsky's point, or points, even the ones he hasn't made yet, 100%. First of all, I mentioned that I've watched many Super Bowls, but I have not watched them all. There are two dinim that are significant with that. In my Shana Aleph and Karen Biavna, there were not a lot of people who cared about watching the Super Bowl. It was very difficult to watch the Super Bowl. Actually, in order to watch it, there was no streaming, there were no laptops, there were no phones that you could watch it on, and there wasn't even that much cable television, meaning it was hard in Israel to get a broadcast. There were a group of guys, and it was also 2 o'clock in the morning, of course, 1:16, 1:19 in the morning, whatever the time is, that the game starts. And there was a group of people who organized. They actually rented a house from the neighboring kibbutz, and they sent the people away for a hotel for a night because they knew they had a television and a hookup that they'd be able to get the game. And they made a whole thing where they were going to make up the learning hours, and they were going to have some good food, and everybody in Karbiyavn was going to watch the Super Bowl that night. They assumed, naturally, that I was going to be the ringleader of this entire operation, and that I would reserve for myself a front seat in front of that television. That Super Bowl, by the way, was one of the greatest Super Bowls ever played, for political reasons, for sociological reasons, and for just sports reasons. It was the Giants-Bills Super Bowl in the middle of the Gulf War. Whitney Houston sang the national anthem. It was a spectacle of actually substantive patriotism. It was an important Super Bowl of the American way of life, and we were in the middle of fighting a war at that time. That was taking place. It was the New York Giants, and that mattered. And it ended up being one of the greatest Super Bowls ever played. Scott Norwood, wide right, wide left, whatever it was, missing the field goal at the end. At the time, there were very few good Super Bowls. Now there have been a lot more. But that was an amazing Super Bowl, and it involved the Giants. They happen not to be my favorite team, but I definitely had a rooting interest as a person who grew up in the New York, New Jersey area. I was one of the only students in Karen Biavna who did not watch that Super Bowl. And the reason why I didn't watch it is not because you can't watch the Super Bowl, but because I couldn't watch that Super Bowl. At that stage of my avoda, I needed a cleaner break and a reset from my obsession with and my connection with sports. It was the act of not watching that Super Bowl that allows me to watch sports and to follow sports in a healthy way. It needs sometimes a demonstrative act where we define ourselves by what we do and how we do it. And even if that includes, at this stage in life, a person taking a private Kabbalah to watch less sports or to not watch the Super Bowl, that is unquestionably a healthy thing. If a person, even better, were to moderate their watching of a Super Bowl, to not watch the commercials, to watch it on tape delay so that they could have an amazing Mincha or Maariv, that is, again, we're not suggesting carte blanche, Super Bowl is great, go have a good time, and we'll speak on Monday morning. Bad things will happen over the course of our entire life if that is the approach that we take. I do believe strongly, though, that there is value in having a good time, in enjoying oneself and having a clean outlet, in knowing where we're holding in life and what is a reasonable expectation in our avodah and our growth. I do believe there is great value in all of those things. Before turning over to Kamenetsky, just wearing my moderator hat again. Rabbi Kamenetsky will definitely have an opportunity, as will everybody else, to respond to what I say. Your remarks should be your prepared remarks, and save the responses as best you can for later on in the debate.
Okay. I want to begin by, it seems that Rabbi Benovitz in his introduction violated some of the understandings that the two of us generally usually have when we speak or interact in these forums. So I want to just clarify for everybody here that despite Rabbi Benovitz's his introductory remarks about how everyone has to, whatever, listen to me because I'm his Rebbe and all that stuff. I assume that everybody realizes that we should not be fooled or misled by Rabbi Benovitz's incredible humility about his understanding and his ability to communicate his opinions, his very, very well thought out opinions. I have learned many, many, many things from Rabbi Benovitz over the years. I don't want anyone to have the impression here that I'm the Rebbe in Rabbi Benovitz's Talmud. It's true that I've known Rabbi Benovitz for 35 years. I knew Rabbi Benovitz before I knew my wife, who was Rabbi Benovitz's sister. Rabbi Benovitz was in the 10th grade, so we had a wonderful chavrusa together. It was my Shana Aleph, my first year back from Israel. We had a wonderful chavrusa. That's really when we got to meet each other the first time, and it's been many, many, many years of being together, and I would be the first person, when Rabbi Benovitz speaks, to sit and listen to what he has to say. He's much more creative than me. He's much smarter than me, and he therefore has a lot of very, very important things to hear. It might be true that on a technical sense I'm a little older than him, and I may have, you know, sort of quote-unquote taught him a little bit when he was much younger, but at the very least, by now it's Talmud Chaver, if anything. It's not Rebbe Talmud, so let's make sure that we have a clear understanding of that. And I think it's also important that because we are very, very close, even though we don't necessarily speak that often, both somewhat busy, but we're very close anyway, and we've been together for many years, so we know pretty much how each other thinks about many things. We don't agree on everything, but we agree on many, many, many things. We probably agree on most things, and this is not really, honestly, an area that we really disagree on tremendously. Although maybe even here there might be different degrees of discussion. I guess that's why Rabbi Greijauer wanted us to take two different. It's hard for us to debate an issue, any issue, because the truth is we're very similar on many things. But I think the take home for guys here, the take home is a lot of times when you argue extremes of things, so then you'll be able to take the, as Rabbi Benovitz said before, to take the principles upon which they're based. And by the way, there's no one answer here in this situation for every kid who's sitting here, because every boy who's sitting here is at a different stage in their own life and development. And it might be 100% glad kosher for someone here to watch the entire Super Bowl beginning to end with all the wings and all the poppers. And it might be for somebody else that maybe you're just going to watch the fourth quarter. And that's the way he will get his enjoyment. And that's the appropriate amount for him. And Rabbi Benovitz mentioned before that, you know, in moderation. And then I'll just try to elaborate on some of the points that I made before. I think that I've seen so many people who get addicted to sports in an unhealthy way. So many people, and I think that while I agree with Rabbi Benovitz that sports is a healthy outlet, certainly, certainly playing sports is a very, very healthy outlet, and I'm much more positive about playing sports than I am about following it. Following it is like Rabbi Benovitz, entertainment. It's entertainment. And there's a lot of forms of entertainment. A person might like sports as his form of entertainment. You might like going to an amusement park, which I also think is permitted. You know, go to getting entertainment. There's a lot of ways to get entertainment. I think that one of the dangers of sports, particularly as an outlet of entertainment, is that it's addictive in nature. I don't find so many people like, I need to go to an amusement park every Sunday. I need to do this every night. I need to check every single thing. I need to, it becomes, I think, one of the dangers of following organized sports is it's easy for it to become addictive. It's easy to take over your life. It's easy for you to not realize that you're spending hours and hours and hours on it, and you're going down a rabbit hole of needing to know every last score and every last stat, and every and some people just takes over their lives, and it's just it's out of whack with the level of balance and the level of entertainment and relaxation and fun, as we said, that a person really needs. And I think it's a very difficult, and as I would just urge in terms of a take home that as a person gets older, and again, I will say I watched many Super Bowls in my life as well. I watched many Super Bowls, but I will say, and again, we could debate this, and maybe Rabbi Edelman and I disagree with this, maybe we don't disagree with it. I mean, you know, someone should, you know, I don't think that my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Willig, takes the time to watch the Super Bowl. I don't think that Rabbi Schechter takes the time to watch the Super Bowl. I don't think that many of our Rabbeim and role models in life, Rabbi Meir Twersky, who's usually on the call, I don't think he takes the time to watch the Super Bowl. And I think that if these people are our role models and we're honest about these people being our role models, then we have to strive to emulate them and to be like them. Now, again, that doesn't mean that I don't want to equate myself and say I'm on the level of these people, but I think as a person grows in life, what was good at age 20 or age 25 or age 15 or age 17 might not be the amount of relaxation you need at age 18 or 20 or 22. And a person grows. So just because this was something that you got into as a kid and you got very excited about it, I'll share this because I just think it's on point of the point that I'm trying to come in. And again, I say it with the utmost humility, and I don't say that I have necessarily the right approach on this. It's just what I feel, what I think, what I've been trained. There was recently, actually, I think his son is on the call, if I'm not mistaken, but someone who I knew got very sick, and people were being encouraged to take upon themselves various kabbalos to help the person get better. And I took the Kabbalah that I took upon myself. I noticed about myself, I felt, I judged myself, and maybe Rabbi Edelman might say that I judged myself too harshly, but maybe I didn't. I felt that I was wasting too much time watching highlights on the on YouTube of various important sports games or some sports highlights. Going back, I don't know how many years ago it was. Maybe it was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I forgot exactly how many years ago it was. And I was disappointed with myself, and I took a Kabbalah because this friend of mine who I knew was sick, I took a Kabbalah that I would stop watching those sports highlights on the internet because I felt that, for me, I could be using my time better. And I just saw it was getting too much, and it just, and then unfortunately the person passed away. Then I had a question, do I keep the Kabbalah or not? Do I keep the Kabbalah? Because the Kabbalah was al das that he should get better, and then he didn't get better. Maybe got better for a little, whatever it was. But so the short story is that I decided to keep the Kabbalah because I liked the way my life had developed. I liked the productivity. I liked the fact that I was more productive. Instead of those few minutes of downtime, I didn't need the downtime to watch sports. I used the downtime to, like, I don't know, read stories of Gedolim or read like light Piskei Halacha or Shlomo Zalman Rora. Whatever it was, I picked up different things that were my downtime that I felt was a better use of my downtime. So, like I said, my one point was just be careful. It's very difficult. Rabbi Benovitz made the wonderful point that if you can do it in moderation, it's great. But I think we have to be honest with ourselves. Do we do it in moderation? And can we, really, knowing ourselves, do it in moderation? I know this, that a lot of the people who I speak to about this, who now, by us, it used to be, when we were growing up, it was just like 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon. I think, if I'm not mistaken now, it's, I think, 9 hours on a Sunday. Like, you have the 12 o'clock game, and the 4 o'clock game, and the 7 o'clock game, and then you have the Thursday night game, and then you have the Monday night. Ain't la dummer sof. How much can it do? And then the only other and I would go deeper, just that we also have to be very careful. And I do agree. Rabbi Lopiansky mentioned it when he spoke to us before, and many people. I remember Rabbi Storch, who's a good friend of mine, so he once had courtside seats it was the Miami Heat at the time, and he was watching LeBron James, and he was playing there, and he said he has never seen a person so focused on accomplishing anything. When you sit courtside, you really can see. Again, my lifetime, I don't think maybe once or twice in my life, I've never been so good to sit courtside. But he said he's never seen someone so intensely focused and concentrating as watching LeBron in a basketball game. He said the level of concentration, the level of focus, what you see you can accomplish if you work hard at something. Sports certainly is a tremendous model to us, a lesson of what a person can achieve when a person puts his mind to working on something. Malcolm Gladwell famously, Rabbi Storch also likes the quote by Rabbi Storch on Malcolm Gladwell, if you spend 10,000 hours doing anything, you could do something. I have a great story, which I'm not going to go into now, but one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshivas in Israel here, who his father once said to him, if you would pour all your kachis into learning instead of sports, you'd be a big Talmud Chacham. And that was life-changing. That line was life-changing for him. So the halachas, we have to know the halachas of that if a woman, anytime you're watching television or watching anything, if there's a woman who's inappropriately dressed, you're not allowed to look at that. That's sine qua non. That means when it comes on, if you see it for a second, that's not an issue. Re'eh l'fitumo, many posts can say, but you can't stare at it, even not for pleasure. If a woman's wearing a bikini or a woman's inappropriately dressed, wearing very short sleeves or shorts, whatever, you're not allowed to look at that. A person's not allowed to look at that. So anytime you're watching, that's just really the commercials. I just think that's an important point. But the cheerleaders, the whole cheerleader phenomenon, just because you're going to a ball game and you're watching the game doesn't mean you're allowed to watch the Knicks City dancers or whatever do they still call them that now? I don't even know. I haven't been there for a while. I know a couple times that I watched that wasn't just usher. That was like, that could be like Yahar Bal Yavar. I mean, they were talking about that's some pretty serious usurp. So we should be careful that when we talk about going to the Super Bowl, it's just about watching the Super Bowl and not about the halftime show or the equipment malfunctions or other things that happen during the Super Bowl. So I mentioned before, it's the addiction. We have to be careful about the halachos, I point to the positive midos, but as I said before, there's also a lot of negative midos, and I see this playing out in the kids on our basketball team, in our high school. I see it playing out, the negative gaiva that happens because of what they watch in terms of the way people celebrate or rub it in the opponent's nose after you score a touchdown or after you hit a three or a clutch three, the way you rub it in your opponent's nose, which flies in the face of everything. I'll just share with you. I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but it just tells me where we're at. I think it was a great question, but one of the Rebbe's brought his guys over to me a couple of days ago to ask you the following question. Is it permissible in a Kol Eli game, is it permissible to daven, and the game's on the line, you're up by one, and the guy's at the foul line, is it permissible to daven that your opponent should miss the foul shots? I was asked this Shiloh. So to me, again, we talked about the Shiloh, and again, I appreciate that people are honest and they're talking about Tefillah and they're talking about sports. But like, to me, this highlights this animosity and negativity that your chaver who's in your shir, you should daven that you should be embarrassed in public and miss his foul shots. I just don't think if you lose the game on his foul shots, that's what Hashem wanted. I'm saying I'm not sure you should daven that you should miss his foul shots. So I just think that some of this is gotten too intense. And then there's the media hype. There's something about the Super Bowl that's just become so, like, as Rabbi Benavid said himself, that it's a national holiday. I just think we have to be careful about getting sucked into the hype. I mean, think about it. If I would take a poll now, it's unbelievable. I can't tell you how many kids. And maybe I shouldn't say it here because there's probably kids sitting here in the same. I can tell you how many kids have to visit their therapists the day, the week after the Super Bowl because they didn't get invited to a Super Bowl party. Again, that's not just about a social dynamic. That's about like we got, it's just, we created a religion out of it. So I just think in these points, I love sports. I love watching sports. I love watching sports. I have tried to bring myself to the point in my life that I should realize that I'm above this and that I should be able to not have to do it. I will tell you, even since that Kabbalah, it's not like I've never, like, I'm watching, one of the things I do for downtime is I watch the first 5 minutes of Rabbi Eli Stefanski's Daf Yomi Shir, never the Torah part. I never watch the actual Shir. I only watch the Ha. It's a whole discussion why I do that, and it's not really for now. But the problem is when you watch YouTube all of a sudden like feeds you. It feeds you. Again, you guys know better than this about the algorithms and the way they, how they, it's just, oh, that's a whole other story. That's a different schmooze, not our schmooze. But we should probably open it up for comments from the crowd or whatever, or rebuttals or whatever it is. But it's not like I haven't ever seen one highlight since my Kabbalah. I have seen them, and sometimes I even see one or two, and then I got to remind myself, oh, I have a Kabbalah. I gotta stop. But anyway, so I think if we do watch, if we do check ourselves, but if we're being honest with ourselves, it's very, very, very difficult to make sure that we do it in the right way. It can be done, and I believe maybe even for most people in this room, it should be done. A person should not feel guilty about watching the Super Bowl. That's not what I'm trying to say. I just think that there are many, many things that there might be something to strive for in life, and we should be like our Rabbeim and not need this form of entertainment to entertain us.
Okay, we are going to move to the rebuttals and a couple of just comments that we may have about each other's presentations, but we're also going to open up the floor to questions. We don't have a lot more time at all. I'm really excited about the way the conversation developed. Again, we didn't rehearse or plan any of it, and I hope that what I'm about to say can be helpful both in establishing a real fundamental principle that I think Rabbi Kamenetsky and I completely agree upon, and by virtue of understanding that fundamental principle, I think we're also going to reveal a significant point that we might disagree about, and that'll be valuable and helpful also in terms of considering different opinions and making decisions together with your own counsel, your own Rabbeim, your own parents, your own good chaverim and friends to find a path of life that is good for you. Rabbi Kamenetsky alluded to, of course, the incredibly important influence, which has never been more on display than it is on the last week of NCSY Kollel. Rav Schechter and Rav Shaul Alter and Rav Lopiansky and Rav Dov Zinger, which has joined us a couple of minutes ago, and some of you are going to get a chance to hear from in just a couple of minutes. Appreciation for your madrichim. The notion of doing that which your role models instruct you to do and behaving in the way that they behave. And obviously, I could not agree more. It's a very good decision to make in life to ask yourself, what do my Rabbeim do? And therefore, try to model ourselves. Again, everybody on their own level at their own time after what they do. And I think that's important. And I think important is an understatement. But I think there's a point that's even stronger than that. Perhaps the most important point, and we've alluded to it but have not said it. Every question that we have in life should be preceded by the hanacha, the stipulation that I am going to try to do what the Ribono Shel Olam wants me to do. You cannot be a Ben Torah, which is the category of the topic of that we're dealing with right now. Can a Ben Torah, a person who is meant to define themselves by the Ratzon of the Ribono Shel Olam. Asei Ritzoncha Kirtzona. Make your desire and your actions consistent with what he wants you to be doing. There is no doubt, forget about Rabbi Kamenetsky and myself, all of our leaders and all of our Rabbeim and all your Madrichim could never imagine a world in which we're not Malachim, we're going to make mistakes from time to time, but that we would lechatchila do something that does not fit the definition of what does the Ribono Shel Olam want me to be doing right now. This doesn't make a difference. And by the way, the extent to which that is a factor in our decision-making process is the most important factor in determining whether or not we are actually a Ben Torah, accomplish something over the summer, or a part of this community of people who are striving to be better in our lives. If that's not actually something that we care about at all, we make a decision based on 1,000 other factors, and not once do we consider what is the Ribono Shel Olam we do right now, then whatever decision we make is the wrong decision. And if it is a giant factor in our decision-making process, if everything that we're doing is calibrated and is based on, I am trying to learn Gemara Megillah in the morning and listen to my Madrich in the afternoon and take a walk under the stars at night, all in an attempt to try to figure out what does the Ribono Shel Olam want from me right now? What would he like me to do? What's going to bring nachas to the Ribono Shel Olam? Which is so often illustrated by what's going to bring nachas to my madrech and to my friends and to my parents and to my grandparents, and what's going to give them pride in the things that I'm doing. If we are making our decisions based on that factor, then it's almost impossible to make the wrong decision. Even if we miscalculate and make a mistake, but if our entire lives are based on what does the Ribono Shel Olam want me to do, then we're going to be successful. There are people who that's the definition of a religious life. It's not just that I do certain rituals, I engage in certain acts, I follow certain rules, but the definition of being a Ben Torah, the definition of being a religious person, is the fact that I calibrate my entire life and my decision-making process. What does the Ribono Shel Olam want me to do? What's going to bring nachas to the Ribono Shel Olam? What's going to bring nachas to my grandparents? What's going to be the thing that is the greatest reflection of the ratzon of the Ribono Shel Olam? I think that perspective, which is of course the common ground, once again, not just for Rabbi Kamenetsky and myself this morning, but the common ground for all of our debates, all of our discussions, the 6 weeks of the summer, Admei of Esrim, our entire lives of religious experience, that common ground. I do think also that it perhaps, for the benefit of those who want fireworks in dispute, I think if you're listening carefully to what Rabbi Kamenetsky presented, what I presented, there is an akuda of disagreement. It is not inconceivable to me that at various stages in life, including a more advanced stage in life, the Ribono Shel Olam is not just okay with, but would say, yeah, this is a good and healthy thing for you to be doing right now. It would make sense for it. One need not say that this is beyond the pale and only if I am weak. Now, Rabbi Kamenetsky, again, may disagree with that. Might be inconceivable to Rabbi Kamenetsky. And I'm not talking about when we're weak and when we're young and we need this in order to get to the next stage. It could be that the Ribono Shel Olam understands that in the world that it created, there can be a positive value, and that positive value may just be in healthy rest and relaxation. It may just be in a distraction and a diversion, letting my mind rest for a few minutes with all the dangers that are there understood. But I believe in a world in which the Ribono Shel Olam may save for a lot of people. I don't believe Rabbi Tursky watches the Super Bowl. I do know that in the years in which Rev Tursky participated in our intramural leagues, and yes, those years did exist, Rev Tursky would specifically stay and watch some of the games after also. He enjoyed some of what Rabbi Storch described. He loved watching Rabbi Gary Beitler play basketball. He loved watching that in motion. He benefited and enjoyed, first of all, just after physical exertion with all the siddharm. I think it made Ratorsky's night star better. I think it enabled him, just because he's walking around and he's enjoying and there's an energy and there's an enthusiasm. There is a world in which, even for our Rabbi, I mean, yeah, it might not be the Super Bowl. And it might be because of all the dangers that we said, that's just something which is not going to work for that at all. But there is a world in which, if we calibrate ourselves, what does Ribono Shel Olam want me to do? There is a world in which I believe that even watching the Super Bowl in some form or another, maybe that fourth quarter, maybe without the commercials, maybe around the Minchan Marv that become the Iker focus and not the Tuffel focus, there's a world in which I believe it is possible that the answer can be yes. Why is that possible? So we mentioned some of the reasons before. We mentioned healthy outlets and diversion, and I can't stress it enough. That's not a small thing in a world that struggles so much with anxiety and mental health issues and has so many things that are terrible, terrible vices. If all the Super Bowl does is keep you from smoking or gambling, and I know that's a funny thing to say about the Super Bowl with regard to gambling, but all it does is keep you from doing things that are far worse for 5 minutes on the internet because you're on ESPN.com. ESPN.com is definitely not the worst site for you to be on the computer. So 5 minutes spent on ESPN.com is, yes, it's 5 minutes spent not learning, But it's also 5 minutes spent not doing other things. It's also 5 minutes spent doing something that is more productive as an outlet and a healthier outlet like that. And that might be the answer why the Ribono Shel Olam says it. There are lessons that can be learned from watching people's effort and enthusiasm and people's success in life. I was makabel upon myself when I knew I wasn't going to go cold turkey on watching sports, that I would only watch sports that were examples of human greatness. I was offered many times tickets to go to game. It's the Nets playing the I'm not watching that. Jordan's coming to town. I'll see Jordan. Not to make a god out of Jordan, but to see what a human being when he devotes himself, as Rabbi Kamenetsky described with LeBron James.
Except for, I better have mentioned the Jets before, and that's completely off limits.
Yes,
the Jets,
it's not much to be learned from that.
No,
maybe this year. There's always a hope. There's always a prayer.
50 year frustrated Jets.
Rabbi Kamenetsky is probably not up in the news of the Aaron Rodgers signing and all the optimism surrounding the Jets for this year.
They said the same thing.
We have to give him.
The Jets are experts at getting washed out quarterbacks and then doing absolutely nothing with them.
We'll give him, not washed out yet. We'll give him the update. We'll give him the updates a little bit later. When it comes to that, I'm amazed that we've gone almost 55 minutes. We didn't mention also, by the way, one of the other potential positive values that exists in the world with sports, which is bonding and connection. People are able to achieve both in watching teamwork and watching people who exhibit a degree of teamwork. And also sports unites us. Sports allows us to connect. Yeah, you can turn sports into something that is utterly divisive and ridiculous and corrupted. But the way in which there was another time that I was makabel upon myself again, not nearly as holy as Rabbi Kamenetsky's. If it wasn't makabel myself, they're never going to watch sports again. But there was a time, there was a series of Super Bowls actually, where I had not watched the Super Bowl in a number of years, but I watched them with my boys. I watched them together with, because that experience of rooting together or rooting against or connecting with other people, having a conversation, having a common dialogue. My father, who is much more in Rabbi Kamenetsky's camp in this discussion, he really didn't care about sports at all for much of his life. My father watched in 1988, he watched every single game of the NBA playoffs together with me. It was a bonding experience. My father, for my 16th birthday, drove out to Pittsburgh. We're big Steelers fans. It is the single best day I've ever spent in my life with my father. Learned a lot of Torah with my father. It was an amazing, amazing experience. It was bonding, and it was a connection. Sports allows a person that. It allows us to connect, to open up, and to have that experience of interacting together. I'm just giving examples where I do believe there are times that if we do the all-important, what does the Ribono Shel Olam want me to do? That the answer could be, in certain times, in certain cases, he wants you to watch that game. He wants you to be a person who is, again, in the world, being able to mekadesh all of that. But I could not agree more, most importantly, with the methodology of what is going to bring nachas to the Ribono Shel Olam, number one. And number two, be open about the dangers, and to watch sports without any moderation or filter is a terrible thing to be able to do. We have time for maybe two or three questions that are coming out there. I don't want to cut you off. If you have anything you want to add to that before we go. If they don't have any questions, there are Max Cakes for all the participants, free, for all the participants in this morning's debates that are waiting for you by the door as you make your way to the next panel. The panels are not structured as debates. The panels are structured as just the presentation of difference of opinions. We have some extraordinary people, Rav Eisenstein and Rav Tarrigan and Rav Dozinger, as we mentioned before, Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rabbi Leibowitz, Rabbi Turetsky. We have some extraordinary presenters that are coming up. Choose wisely for the next session. Yes, sir. Loud as you can. Sure you can. I'll teach you how. There's something called the NFL Game Pass. It's a great thing. They have condensed game. You know how much action there is in an NFL game? I know the answer. The answer is between 11 and 13 minutes of actual action that takes place in an NFL game. Actually, the answer is less than that. It's closer to 7 minutes, but that includes like walking up to the play and the snap count. And the rest of it, there's about 11 minutes. And highlight packages are even less than that. You could do anything in moderation, it happens to be. Yeah. I would say and joke that you're voting with Rabbi Kamenetsky, but you're definitely voting with both of us. I am not at all sure that the answer to that question is yes. I don't know that the Ribono Shel Olam wants you to be watching the Super Bowl for 6 hours. I certainly know he doesn't want you to be watching that inane pregame show. It's Chazal say Ein Kedusha B'li Hachana, which is a very important statement. There is no such thing as holiness without preparation. There is definitely such a thing as preparation for Tuma. There's definitely such a thing as Yesh Hachana Im Tuma. That's definitely a thing that exists in the world, and I don't think it's... that's definitely what we're saying. So there's another question here. All right, last one.
Is there like a proper way to play fantasy football?
Don't get me started. I hate fantasy football as a sports fan. Forget about as a Ben Torah. I definitely have credentials as a sports fan, so I can tell you my opinions about fantasy football. We don't need to be recorded for that. It's a corruption of the game, and it's absolutely arbitrary, and it's the equivalent of gambling and roulette instead of anything else like that. It's absurd, absurd. I hate fantasy sports as a sports fan. Is there a better way to do it? I think it's a tremendous amount of bittelsman. Honestly, this would be the Ben Torah part speaking. And I think it also feeds into one of the other things we didn't mention. I said on the pro side, we didn't mention the bonding. On the negative side, and we only alluded to it in passing, we should have done a better job. Gambling can destroy your life, absolutely. Gambling is the addictive part, the drug part of sports, and you have to be exceedingly careful about things that involve gambling and wagering. And fantasy football is really a way of monetizing sports and corrupting it, not just on the sports level, but even on the mentor level. I'm not ranting and raving and saying you're a terrible person if your outlet involves fantasy sports. I am saying you're a terrible sports fan, but I'm not saying you are a... I'm kidding, obviously. I'm not saying you're a terrible person. Obviously, I know the numbers and statistics of how many people are participating in fantasy sports. Be very careful, as a Ben Torah, I would say. Be very, very careful, because it feeds into many of the things that can suck you into very bad places and dark places. Okay, thank you all for listening.